If you have your copy of God's Word, if you turn to the Gospel of John, John chapter 1, verses 1 through 18, Lord willing, this morning. John 1, 1 through 18. On a message I've titled today, What Does Your Light Reveal? John chapter 1. When you get there, if you're able to stand, would you please stand for the reading of God's Word? John chapter 1, starting with verse 1. And here the Bible says, In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them he gave power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld His glory, the glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John bare witness of Him and cried, saying, This was He of whom I spake. He that cometh after me is preferred before me, for He was before me. And of His fullness have we all received, and grace for grace. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. No man has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, He has declared Him. Father, we thank You for the reading of Your Word this morning. I'm praying now that You help us for just a few minutes to be able to preach on this text. Lord, keep me out of the way, but let You be seen. Let You be glorified. Let You be exalted. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You can be seated. I'm going to start out by asking the question this morning that everybody needs an answer for by the time we leave. Is what does your light reveal? I want you to think on that thought throughout this text about what does your light reveal? When I was a small boy growing up, and I grew up not far from here, down on Maloneville Road, everybody knows where my parents live. I grew up there, and across the cow pasture was my grandfather's house. It's that big gray two-story old 1800 farmhouse that sits there on Maloneville Road, there close to the roads, gray with a tin roof, and that's where my grandfather lived. Well, from time to time, me and my sister, usually just me and Pam, we would go out there and spend the night at my grandfather's house. Well, my grandmother, which was living at the time, her name was Bessie Chesney, and we would go to spend the night, and at nighttime, that house was the scariest place you've ever been in your life. It was dark. And she would keep us, she would put us in a room upstairs in that old house, and it was as black could be. You could not see your hand in front of your face unless there was a light on. And we would get up there, and it was creepy. And my sister Pam always told me that was where all the ghosts lived, too. And she was like 3 years older than me. And so I was always scared to death every time we went as we'd get into bed. And I'd lay awake most of the night wondering, you know, about all the ghosts. And she made up all the stories about slaves that had died building the house and they were buried in the walls and all this stuff. Well, up there in that house, it being pitch black, and my grandmother Bessie, she would tuck me in a bed up there in that bedroom. And she had this way, she would smooth her hand over my head like this and rub her hand over my head. And she would talk real soothing to me. And she knew I was scared. And she'd say, honey, she said, if you get homesick or you get scared, I want you to look out that window. And she said, you see that light across the field? She said, that's your mom and daddy's house. And if you get scared, you just look out there and you know that your mom and daddy's just right there. And that would bring me such relief by being able to see just that tiny light across that field, knowing that I was safe because of that light right there. If that light wasn't there, I'd have laid awake all night scared to death of the darkness. They say that light travels a foot every 1 nanosecond. I don't know if you know how fast that is, but they say light can circle this earth 7 times in less than a minute. That is some fast stuff. Over in the book of Genesis, in the first 5 verses, the Bible tells us that God created light. That before God created light, that the world was in darkness. It says in Genesis 1, starting with verse 1, "In the beginning, God." Let's not forget that right there, by the way, for all those atheists out there and the evolutionists and all the Big Bang theories out there. It says, "In the beginning, God created." You take that atheist college professor, wherever he may be, and you tell him the Bible says, "And God created." It didn't say that we was created out some boom, something exploded, and somehow we got all this intelligent design of an explosion. No, the Bible says God created. God created the heaven and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. Then God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. I want you to notice right there that when God said, "Let there be light," He had not created the sun yet. The sun is not created till a later time. If you read on down there, you'll find where God creates the sun. But God said, "Let there be light." He knew what there was light. He didn't need the sun. And God saw the light that it was good, and God divided the light from the darkness. And God called the light day, and the darkness He called night. And the evening and the morning were the first day. Well, here we have an explanation of how all this came to be. Of how before God spoke the words and said, "Let there be light," that this world was in darkness, completely void of any light. But God said that the light was good. Did you notice that? Every time you see light mentioned in the Bible, it's referring to something good. Jesus says that "I am the light." He's good. He's all good. God created light, and He said it's good. The light is good. Well, we've mentioned here the properties of light in one sense of how maybe a scientist would break it down. Somebody that studies things like that and could tell us how fast light goes around the earth. I don't know how they understand how that works or not. I don't care. In that sense, we can talk about light all day long. We can talk about these lights in our chandeliers right now. We can talk about the ones all throughout the church. A guy told me yesterday if we'd replace all these with LEDs, our light bill would go down by about $100 a month. We might want to look into that. Light, it's important for us to understand that we need light in our lives. In our opening text, John tells us that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. I don't know if you understand this or not, but there's a lot of people today that despise the Gospel of John. Did you know that? You would think one of the greatest books in all ever in history is the Gospel of John. I mean, you can take the Gospel of John and somebody can read that and they can know who God is. They can understand who Jesus is. They can be convicted in their heart that they're a lost sinner that needs to be saved by reading the Gospel of John. Just the Gospel of John. But there are people out there that despise this book. Do you know a lot of the Jews? They can't stand this book. They claim that John is anti-Semitic, that he is against the Jews because everything he says is derogatory and casts the Jews in a bad, can I use the pun, light. It casts the Jews in a bad light. There's other groups of people that say the Gospel of John was not really intended to be one of the Gospels like Matthew, Mark, and Luke, which we call the Synoptic Gospels. That word is not in the Bible, but it's what we use when you're studying in-depth theology and things. We'll say synoptic. That means the same. So the Matthew, Mark, and Luke are considered the same. They give the same story. They're mostly Jewish written books, except Mark is more toward the Gentile. But John is completely different than these. He doesn't dwell on the birth of Christ. He doesn't dwell on the genealogy of Christ. He doesn't dwell on a lot of the miracles that Christ did, the signs, gifts, and miracles and wonders He performed for the Jew to be able to believe. And so John gets right to the point. In fact, in his opening words there, he says something that is very, it becomes a problem for a lot of people. Did you see what he said? He said, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God." But then he says this little phrase, which is what everybody hates, "And the Word was God." you need to understand something this morning. If you don't get anything else today, that Jesus Christ is in fact God. He is God. What God did to be able to identify with man, which is why he's called the Son of Man, Jesus is, he became flesh. When he became flesh, the incarnation, when he became a man, he became a man in flesh, but he is the God-man. He is God robed in flesh. In other words, God stepped down from his throne in glory. He laid aside his scepter. He took off his golden crown and laid it aside. And he took on the flesh of a man like we are, women. I'm not leaving you out. That's just a universal term, man. And he put on flesh like we are, robed himself in flesh to identify with us, to come to this place. Because the Bible says he loved us is why he did it. He came here because he loved us and he died for us and wanted to save us. But John says that Jesus, the Word, which by the way, that word, Word, is capitalized with a capital W. That is a title, that is a proper name for the Lord Jesus, the Logos. It means the Word Jesus. He is our Savior, is what that word means. And so there's a lot of people that come against the Gospel of John. In fact, if you ever want a way to run off the Jehovah Witness from your door, you know, when they come to your door and, you know, and they've got their little pamphlets and all this, and they want to talk to you for a little bit, all you got to do is say, would you please explain to me John chapter 1, verse 1? Tell me what you think about that. They will soon be hitting the pavement and going somewhere else. You see, the Jehovah Witness does not believe that Jesus is God. They do not believe in the deity of Christ. And that's what John has come out with, is showing us the deity of Christ. And the Jehovah Witnesses, they do not believe that. They actually believe that Jesus is Michael the Archangel in flesh, if you believe that. Which is not too awful far away from what the Mormons believe about Jesus. The Mormons believe that he's the brother of Satan, of Lucifer. So if you ever want to get rid of the Mormons and Jehovah Witnesses, have a little conversation about John 1, chapter 1, chapter 1, verse 1. But John assures us that Jesus, the Word, is in fact, was and is God. John goes on to tell us in that same verse is there, he says, the same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. Now we read in Genesis 1, chapter 1, verses 1 through 5, there of the beginning of creation. There is all three of the Trinity. That's another thing that the Jehovah Witnesses, Mormons don't believe in either, is the Trinity. The Trinity being the triune Godhead, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, all three in one. They believe that we are teaching and preaching heresy by saying that we actually worship three different gods, they say. No, it's the same God. It's the same God. And so John says the same was in the beginning. So Jesus was actually the one that was responsible for creation. It actually says the word Jesus in the beginning, that all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. Many people believe that Jesus just began in Bethlehem as the baby. And we sing about it at Christmas. That's only the incarnate Christ. That's when God, robed in flesh, came here to this earth. Paul says this in Colossians 1, 16 and 17. For by him were all things created, that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him, and he is before all things, and by him all things consist. John is speaking specifically about the Lord Jesus Christ, is who he's speaking of. So we've learned a few things here in our Bible. Maybe you didn't learn it. Maybe you're just getting refreshed. But maybe you are learning this for the first time, that Jesus is in fact God, that Jesus is the Creator, that all things were made by him, and all things were made for him. For him. John explains all this to us, and so that we don't miss the great truth of who Jesus is. That's the intention of John's gospel. John goes on to say this in verse 4. In him was life, and the life was, and here's the word we want to focus on, the light of men. Remember what God said light was? Good. The Bible says that God said light was good. Well, John here tells us that Jesus, in him was life, and the life was the light, which is the good thing of men. And so without the light of Jesus in us, there is no good thing in us. The Bible, I know, says there's none good. No, not one. But Jesus, being our light, he is the giver of life and he is our light. The truth is, inside of each and every one of us lies darkness. We are born a sinner. We're born into sin and we continue in sin. We are always and forever sinful creatures. But with Christ, we can have his light, and he is the good thing in us. Outside of Jesus, we have no life. You understand, if you've not been saved today, that you are a dead man walking. If you're a woman, you're a dead woman walking. Without Christ today, you don't have life in you. All you have is an existence, and you're on your way to a place called hell without Christ. So the only way we can have true life is through Jesus Christ. That's why he came into this world of darkness. His light shines on us. That's why when he came into the world of darkness and his light shines, but look what it says in verse 5, and the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. Y'all know what comprehension is, right? It means you understand it. It means you not only understand it, but you accept it to be true. When Jesus, the Bible says, when he came into this world, that the light came into the darkness, but the world could not comprehend the light. In other words, they would not accept it as the truth. They wanted to remain in darkness. You may have seen this little meme going around on Facebook or Twitter or something. Here, listen to this. It says, there is no such thing as hate, only the absence of love. There is no such thing as darkness, only the absence of light. There is no such thing as cold, only the absence of heat. There is no such thing as evil, only the absence of good. Now, when I first saw that little meme going around, I thought, well, that's good. I like that. I mean, I wanted to take it for what it says. I wanted to believe it, and I wanted to share it and say, listen, that's the truth right there, you know? But as I kept examining it, and I compared it to what God's Word says, I found out that every single one of those words that they said is in fact untrue. It's untrue. None of that is true. We want to believe it. It looks good. It sounds good. It looks good to share and to post. But in fact, it's not true. When you study God's Word, you learn what John has told us in verse 5. He said, and the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. That tells me that even though there is darkness, and even though light is there, it's not comprehended. So actually, the absence of light is still dark. Even with light in the presence of darkness, it still remains dark. It could not comprehend it. So every single day of our lives, we are witness to that. We see that even despite all the Christians in this world, which there's supposedly millions in this world are Christians, and the Bible says that we are the light, that now that we've received Christ, we become the light to shine forth his light. Despite the light that's in this world still remains in darkness. If you were to turn on your news today, if you were to get on Fox News or even one of our local news websites, you're going to find that this world that we live in, this community we live in, is in darkness, despite the light around it, despite a church every half mile around in this area. Some churches, you can stand on the front porch and throw a rock and hit another church. Despite the light, it's still darkness all around us. People are walking into churches today, shooting people. What does that tell you? Shooting people in the middle of a church where all this light supposedly exists. What about going into a college? They're going into colleges and shooting people. Going into the workplace, shooting people. There's people right now that are training young children how to wear vests with bombs on it to make themselves explode in the middle of a marketplace. Right now as we speak. No doubt it's happening in our country. They're training them in our own country now. And so this darkness surrounds us everywhere. There's still evil, even though there's the presence of good. There's people right now that, as we're speaking, they're out on the streets of Knoxville. They're exchanging money for sex, for drugs, for alcohol, all manner of things, stolen goods. People going and selling off things at the pawn shop that they stole this weekend. And so all this darkness all around us, I ask you when we first started, what does your light reveal? What does your light reveal? As you sit here on this Mother's Day morning, look around in this building. Look at some of the empty spots that we have in here. Back here, there's several benches that are completely empty. There's a few over here and over there in the middle. There's a few empty ones. And you say, well, Brother Byron, that's just the sign of the times. You know, it's going to get worse and worse as we go, and it's a sign of the times. Well, let me ask you something. How many people do you think are members of this church? You don't have to raise your hand and tell me. I can tell you that there are several hundred that have their names on our church roll book. Same as everywhere else. Every other church in Knox County, it's the same thing. They've got hundreds of people enrolled in their church and have their names on the church roll book, but yet they still have empty seats. Why is that? Well, men prefer the darkness than they do the light. They prefer their own way instead of God's way. They prefer to sleep in instead of coming and hearing about a risen Savior. And you say, well, that's being judgmental, Brother Byron. Oh, is it? I understand we've got some sick. We've got some that's out, some that are homebound, some that are staying with others. I know that. I know that. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about those that are able and willing to be able to get up out of bed, that God has blessed them with another breath from their body, that they could come and worship a risen Savior. They can come and sit and congregate together with other people on the Lord's Day and worship a risen Savior. They can praise His name and sing praises. How many in here today come with the thought of, what am I going to do for the Lord in this service today? Or did you come wondering what you're going to hear, what you're going to listen to, what you're going to see? Was it ever in your mind that when you come to church that you are a participator in the service? That when the question was asked, does anybody have anything on their heart? Does anybody have a testimony to share? Does anybody have a song to sing? Did it ever come across your mind thinking, yes, I have one, or I should have had one, or I wanted to? Has it ever even crossed your mind that you were coming to church to participate in worshiping Jesus? Or did you come to spectate, to watch? It's something we need to ask ourselves today. What does our light reveal about us? If I'd announced last Sunday that I was going to give out $100 bills to everybody that came to church, you would not have found a place to park this morning. They would have come early and waited in the parking lot to get in the door for $100. But yet, if I announce that we're going to be preaching about the Lord Jesus being the light of the world, isn't that new movie out now? That's about the attitude of most people today, people that claim to be Christians. In John 8:12, Jesus is talking to the scribes and the Pharisees. They had brought a woman that had been caught, they said, in the very act of adultery. And they drug her out in the middle of everybody. And they were accusing her of what she'd done and asking the Lord Jesus what should be done to her. And during what Jesus is talking to them about, he says this to them. He said, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Well, let me ask you this morning, what does your light reveal? If you are a Christian today, if you've received Christ as your Savior, you actually made the public statement that I've been saved. If I come and ask you today, have you been saved? And you say, oh yes, I've been saved. I received Christ. I remember the day I was convicted in my heart that I was lost and I need to be saved. And I called on the Lord's name and asked Him to save me. And He saved me. If that's you today, what is your light revealing? Because if you've been saved, it should be revealing something. We should see some light coming from you, from your what you say, from your what you do. You should be recognized as one that brings the light. Listen to this, what Jesus says in one of the most famous chapters and verses in all the Bible, John 3:16. He says, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. He that believeth on Him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he's not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Now listen to what He says in verse 19. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men loved darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. Do you see the difference here between the one that has the light and the one that does not have the light? These men, it says, that it was their condemnation. They were condemned because they refused to accept the light, to receive the light. They loved their sin more than they loved the light. They loved darkness more than they loved light. Why do you think most evil things are done in the middle of the night? Why do you think when you wake up you see the headlines of what happened in the middle of the night? Why do you think the burglar comes in to the house to steal in the middle of the night? Why do you think the murderer is found in the middle of the night? The dead bodies in the alleys in the middle of the night. Because men love darkness. Why? Because they're evil. The Bible says that they won't come to the light because then their deeds will be reproved. In other words, they'll be made visible to everyone. But he that doeth truth, the Bible says, cometh to the light. In other words, you desire to come to that light of Jesus. It's your desire. If you are truly saved, if you truly have received Christ, it should be your desire to go toward the light. It says that your deeds may be made manifest, that they're wrought in God. In other words, what you do, people immediately can recognize it's been made manifest. In other words, revealed that you truly do have the light. Your light should be revealed in you. Jesus never one time made it a secret who he was, why he came, and what his intentions and purposes was during his earthly ministry. He said that he is the truth. He said he is the light. He said he is the light of all men. He said he is the great I am. He said that he is the Prince of Peace. He said that he is the gate. He said he's the Lamb. He is the Alpha. He's the Omega. He is the beginning and the end. He is all these things. But he is the way and the word and the light. Yet men, in their evilness, in their wickedness, they refuse to receive the light. They will not receive him. They hated him. In fact, the Bible says he came unto his own, and his own received him not. His own would have been those Jews, those that would identify with Christ, that could have traced down his lineage, his bloodline, all the way down to David, the king on the throne. And they could have very well seen that this is the very promised one that the prophets prophesied about, the Messiah that was promised. He is the one that came to save us from our sins. He is the one that came to bring light to this world of darkness. Yet the Bible says they refused him. They would not receive him. They rejected him. Even in the midst of such hate and cruelty, as Jesus was beaten, as he was nailed to a cross, as he hung there, mocked, ridiculed, spit upon, made fun of, as he hung on that cross, bleeding every drop of his blood, the whole time the world thought they had won. The world thought they had gotten rid of the light. In fact, in 3 hours, as God turned his back on his only begotten, this world was in total darkness. But even during all of the suffering, all of the death of Christ on the cross, he was still that light burning, that light that men was able to come and to receive, that light that he was hanging on that cross, inviting anyone, whosoever, to come to receive him as Savior and to receive that light. But the world thought they succeeded in getting rid of the light. The Romans, no doubt, were laughing. Those Jewish leaders that came and the ones that had him crucified, no doubt they were laughing, thought they defeated Jesus, had defeated the light. But Jesus, as he told them as he was being arrested, he told them this in Matthew 26 and 53, "Thinkest thou that I cannot now pray to my Father, and he shall presently give me more than 12 legions of angels?" A legion is at least 6,000. That's 72,000 angels that Jesus at any moment, in fact, he said more than that many, he could have called at any time to come and help him. But the sinless one, the light of the world, the Lamb, the unspotted one, the unblemished one, he came and he took on the sin of every man hanging on that cross. And what do? We yawn through it. We treat the Word of God as if it's nothing. Oh, church, if I have time, if I don't have something else to do, I may go. We treat what Jesus did as nothing. He hung on the cross and took on the sin of every murderer, every rapist, every liar, every adulterer, even gossipers. You may think, well, that's light. Friends, it's right in there in the list of sins, right along all the rest of them. Every abortionist, Jesus took the sins of all of these. Every vile, disgusting act that you can imagine, he took upon himself because he loved us and wanted to share with us his light. But what does the Bible say? It was their condemnation. They would not receive the light. The light that has come in the world, the men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. If you've accepted Christ as your Savior, there's some things that should be present in your life. The Bible informs us that we become the light for Him and because of Him. He commands that we shine this light. In Matthew 5, 14 through 16, Jesus says this, "Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." Can I ask you the question again this morning? What does your light reveal? Does it reveal that you have Christ in you? Are you yawning your way through life? Are you treating the precious blood of Christ with contempt? Do you love the darkness more than you love the light? Friends, if that's you today, you need to make an examination of your heart. The Bible says that those that are really, really saved will go toward the light. They will come to the light, that their deeds may be made manifest, shown to all the world that they're wrought in God. Are your deeds being made manifest? Are you hiding your light? Listen, I don't believe there's a person in this building today that's here by accident. You may say, well, I was made to come. I was drugged here. I understand that. I was drugged to church all my life as well. But you're not here by accident. God knew each and every person that would be in this building today. He knows those that are listening right now on Facebook. Those that are listening to this on sermon audio or the radio. He knows each person that will hear this message. And the important thing that we need to understand today is that we are truly saved. That we've truly received Christ as our Savior. Because if we are not, if that light is not being made manifest in us, if we are not propagating toward the light, if we are not desiring to shine forth the light of Christ, then we have a problem in us. A problem that needs to be fixed. Because we are the light of Jesus. I can think of no better day than today, Mother's Day 2019, to make the decision to come to the light, to receive Christ as your Savior, to cast away darkness and wickedness, and go toward the light and accept Jesus as the light, the way, the truth, and the life. I want to ask them to come get the invitation song. And I want you to know that Jesus loves you. He died for you. He took your sin debt that you personally are responsible for. You understand that, right? We're all, the Bible says, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible says that sin brings forth death. The Bible says that those that are lost will go to hell and they'll suffer eternity in hell to pay the penalty of sin. You do not have to do that. Christ came into this world of darkness. He came here as light so that we wouldn't have to pay that penalty of sin. Would you stand, please? And I'm going to pray. If you need to come to the altar for any reason, whatever it may be, you come down as we're praying. Heavenly Father, God, we come to you this morning, Lord, thanking you for the message. Lord, we thank you for the truth that you are the light. Lord, you are the way. Lord, that we are in total darkness here on this earth. Lord, our deeds, God, they're wicked. Our hearts are wicked and sinful. God, we don't deserve your love. We don't deserve your grace. We don't deserve your mercy. But God, we're so thankful that you love us. Love us so much that you sent your only begotten Son, Jesus, to die for us. Lord, if there's one today that needs help, would you lead them to the altar this morning and let us pray with them? God, they can leave here knowing that they have that light, that assurance in their heart that they're truly saved. Help them today, Father. Help them. If you need help this morning, you come down.